first step is evaluation. Then from the evaluation, what we're getting a plenty of data. And from the data, we go to the analysis of the data. And from the analysis of the data, we create our own feedback system. The feedback system eventually should create a system of reflection among the students. And from the reflection, we can reach the ultimate step, which is ownership. So if an evaluation goes from evaluation to ownership, then I believe that it is actually justifying what we are trying to do in our academic ecosystem. Having said that, it requires involvement of all the stakeholders.
Welcome to the Learning Circle, the ultimate video podcast for educators and parents who want to unleash the full potential of children. Join us as we explore the fascinating world of learning with the help of thought leaders who will share their knowledge and stories with us. This is your host, Kavleen Kaur, and I'm excited to take you on this journey. Get ready to be inspired, informed, and entertained. Oh, good morning, everybody. Today, our guest speaker is Mr. Abhishek Bagchi. Mr. Abhishek Bagchi is the director of MIT World Peace School Group in Pune. He started his career as an IT professional, but soon realized that the world of education is where he belongs. Mr. Bagchi has more than 25 years of experience in education with reputed organizations like GEMS Education, Pearson, Birla Group, MIT Pune, etc. He has helped build several schools from scratch. In the last 7 years, he has been esteemed speaker on topics like 21st century skills, technology integration in education, social emotional learning, soft skills, artificial intelligence, professional development, and many more topics. His model, School at Home, designed for schools during the pandemic, is well celebrated and is being followed by several schools in India. In addition to the above, he is an enthusiastic reader, writer, quizzer, photographer, movie buff, musician, and traveler. Welcome to our channel, sir. Thank you.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, ma'am. That was like a very interesting introduction that you gave. I know like you get the profiles nowadays like in the public forum, but yes, that was very interesting. It took me back, you know, like some few years like where I was chasing some of my passions. Yes, ma'am.
Yes, so you have an interesting profile, sir, and time permitted, I would like to know about your personal and professional journey into the education domain also. To start with, today we are discussing the very essential topic of the learning ecosystem, which is the evaluation of learnings. So I'll start with the question that what, according to you, is the quality evaluation process for K-12?
Okay, so evaluation is always like that's the elephant in the room, you know, like we always talk about evaluation. Why? The major reason that in Indian context, most of the time, the stakeholders, whether it's parents, the students, the teachers, everyone thought process starts from the evaluation. It's a very top down approach, though educators always try to focus on the pedagogy, the culture inside the classroom and everything. But no matter how much we try, the buck stops there. You know, like the evaluation is like what becomes the most important here. So definitely we cannot disagree on that. We cannot ignore the fact that evaluation is an extremely vital mechanism that all educators are talking about. Having your question is very interesting, ma'am. Like you asked me, like what is a quality evaluation, right?
Right.
So, so if you talk about quality evaluation, I think NEP has told a lot about quality evaluation. NCAP is talking about 360 degree evaluation. But in 360 degree evaluation, the NCAP is mostly talking about the stakeholders' involvement. I believe that it is more than that. You know, like when you talk about evaluation, we should talk about a process where maybe the first step is evaluation. Then from the evaluation, what we're getting a plenty of data. And from the data, we go to the analysis of the data. And from the analysis of the data, we create our own feedback system. That feedback system eventually should create a system of reflection among the students. And from the reflection, we can reach the ultimate step, which is ownership. So if an evaluation goes from evaluation to ownership, then I believe that it is actually actually justifying what we are trying to do in our academic ecosystem. Having said that, it requires involvement of all the stakeholders too. Definitely, because it's not that we are only designing one certain type of evaluation, a certain type of assessment. We all know that educators are already talking about, you know, shifting from assessment of learning to assessment, you know, with learning. In between that, we can have assessment for learning also in some cases. So since we are trying to shift from this assessment of learning to assessment with learning, these jargons, these terminologies can be well celebrated among the educators already. But when it comes to ground level, we need to give them action plans. You know, we need to give them like what, how to actually do that. Because like when we talk about assessment with learning, we are not talking about only the formative or the summative examination, not even talking about the diagnostic assessments that we are taking. It is beyond that. It is like beyond that. It is more about observation. It is more about a continuous evaluation culture that we create, not disrupting the learning process of the student, rather integrating the whole evaluation into the learning process. Now, how that is possible? I'll come back to what I said before. Like after evaluation, we should try to reach a proper reflection process and through the whole data and analysis and feedback. Now, if a teacher is not designing a proper evaluation, now what is this evaluation? It is actually trying to capture the data. It is trying to capture the data of the learning of the student. Now, that particular circle will not be completed if the data is not properly analyzed. It will not be completed if that analysis of the data is not resulting into a proper feedback system that can be generated inside the classroom or even in the whole school, whole learning ecosystem. If that feedback system only gets restricted towards feedback and never resulted in a reflection among the students, even the teachers, that also the whole system fails there. And after the reflection, if the student has started, usually that we have seen it happens, if they started taking ownership of the learning, then you are actually reaching the success of the evaluation system we have created. So yes, ma'am, that is according to me the quality. So what I said the designing of the proper evaluation system, number one, involving as much stakeholder as possible, which even NCF is saying, you know, like we can have several process to involve the stakeholders. And the number three, how much engaging we can make that whole evaluation system to the student so that they do not have some kind of phobia for their assessment, you know, to come out of that. So yes, if we take care of these three parameters specifically, I think the quality of evaluation system will improve. But yes, to reach there are many other, you know, steps that we need to follow.
Yes, sir. So we will talk about the steps in a while. So, you know, very interesting points you shared here about designing the system and involving all stakeholders. And third is to making it engaging. And you also mentioned about the process being reflective. So that is a complete mind shift from just fault finding to actually bringing the students to reflect on their own performance, on their own learning. So I think that has a lot of scope in developing even skills like metacognitive skills in students, wherein they are thinking about their learning, they are thinking about their thinking process also. So there is tremendous scope of this kind of evaluation, if I understand it correctly.
Absolutely. So when we go to that ownership, if we can reach that ownership level, then that itself starts a process of metacognition, as you are talking about, because there the student will start thinking about how they are learning and how they are integral part of this whole process. Because it at present in most of the schools, these are very isolated things. You know, like evaluation is isolated than learning. You know, like that is a major issue that we are facing in most of the, because the whole education system, unfortunately, was designed in such a way, you know, that they were like formative examination, summative examination, unit test, we give them those names. But the point here is like, whenever we tag them with these names and we put it in the calendar, they become an isolated event, right? And that's a problem. And like, when it becomes an isolated event, it is coming out of the whole process of learning, and the integration fails. But interestingly, we are so much used to this process. If you go and ask a student whether they will be loving to have a school where there is no assessment, no examination, and the whole learning is like fun, they will be very skeptical on that process also. You know, like, they actually will come up and say that, you know, like, if you do not give the assessment, maybe that we will not learn.
Yes, yes.
That is so unfortunate. You know, like, we are talking about changing the teachers. Hmm. We are talking about changing the mindset of the parents. We should also be looking at what the students are thinking, because they got conditioned in such a way. You know, that it's more about conditioning. They can't even isolate that process, and you cannot even think that, okay, this can be an integrated thing. So why? Because we have put that thought inside their brain in such, you know, successful way, right? From our whole ecosystem has done that. So yes, it is a very, very challenging thing. Like, we can say a lot of, like, I can start making a lot of theories, and I can learn the other people who are doing it. But the point here is, when it comes to action, we need to have more discussion. And in these discussions, it's not only the educators like us, like you, should be in the discussion. Even the students, even the teachers, even the parents should be a part of the discussion. So if you're talking about creating a quality evaluation system inside a school, we need to have all the stakeholders discussing about it and talking about it. It should not be like, okay, one educator with all the knowledge in the world, you know, coming and becoming a principal or a director of an organization and passing its verdict into among the whole system. That it's not going to work in that way. It's not going to work, because that orientation is not there. You know, that learning, that mindset is not there yet. You know, like, we need to develop the mindset. We need to have more conversations like this, even in a platform like this. You know, like, I would always suggest, like, if it is possible, involve more stakeholders into this kind of discussion, so that they also take a part. Like, just now, today, very surprisingly, it was not planned. You know, today I had a panel with my grade 3, 4, 5 talking about examination. It was very accidentally done. It was nothing planned. Like, it just happened. And it was in an assembly. We do that. We sit down in a panel and we discuss about these things. And they actually gave me very, very interesting perspective, you know, like, and from there, actually, I came to know that, yes, it is not that only educators should be talking about it. It is not that only parents will be talking about it. New age parents are pretty much aware of these things. But it's also the students, you know, because they also have a lot of things in their mind. Some students actually are very bold to speak up and say that, sir, if you remove assessment, if you remove examination, then maybe that we will not learn. They were so honest to tell me that. Mm-hmm. You know, so to let's understand the core problem here. You know, like, that conditioning has already been done. You know, like, so first we have to break that taboo. We have to break that process. And to do that, you know, the students are very, very flexible. If you show them, look, you can actually learn. There are a lot of learning can happen if you are doing it in this way. So they will be accepting it much, much more faster than what parents will be, you know.
Yeah, that's a interesting thing you shared. And in fact, I was of the opinion that if we ask a question to students, can we remove the exams? I thought the students would all say that, yes, we should remove the exams. But you have brought out a very different perspective from the students, that they also think that evaluation is necessary for learning because of all the conditioning which has happened.
No, it's evaluation is also necessary for learning. There is no doubt in it. Okay, but the traditional exam that we are doing, right? Even most of many of us, not most, like, maybe there is a percentage of student who actually believes that kind of examination is required. Mm-hmm. Are you getting the point? So we should not be overconfident with our approach and say that, okay, if we remove the examination, the students will be happy. It's not the case always. That's what I'm trying to say. You know, and we should be standing in front of the mirror, and we should be actually understanding the situation. Like, look, we already have a society for with whom and for them, you know, like it's, and it is prevalent in our teachers also. If you take some kind of like secret ballot, maybe you will come up with some kind of opinion that, okay, you remove the examinations and they will not study, they will not take it seriously, which is absolutely contradicting what we are trying to do, right? So before we are trying to force that whole NCF into the system, first we have to win over the stakeholders. We have to, you know, have more discussions on this with the stakeholders, and then try to find out. I'm a big believer of, you know, students as a part of our discussion. I even offered in many conferences that let's have conference with students involved into it in the panel with the educators. And even like I've given, you know, even suggested to have an open, you know, an open curriculum, right, where everyone can contribute. Now there are open softwares, you know, why not we have open curriculum? So these are the things that we should be more radical in thinking about it, and we should involve the stakeholders into the decision, because there is a requirement of, because if you are talking about personalized education in future, which is the in thing, you know, like that, we cannot deny that personal education will be the next big thing of education. Everyone is talking about that already. Then in that personalized education, the first step is democratize that. Right. And if you cannot democratize education in our system, if it is very much controlled, centralized by some people who has the power and they believe that they know everything, you know, that's a big problem inside the school system. So we should realize it, and we should come down. We should, you know, give away our egos, and we should sit down with each and every stakeholder and understand what they're thinking, and then have a very healthy conversation. I'm sure everyone will be actually loving that, to have a nice conversation. I've always done that with my parents, with my students, with my teachers, and it always works, you know.
So yes, the discussions and conversations is the starting point always, and we have certain ground realities here which you have mentioned. First is that evaluation definitely is a necessary thing. We can't do away with that. Even the students agree on that. Second is that everybody is so conditioned, the educators, the parents, and even the students are so conditioned with the traditional education, that to break this, we need to first start with conversations, and that should involve all stakeholders, including the students, right? And it cannot be a closed door thing. It has to be open door without the egos, wherein everybody comes to the table and agree to form, you know, the basic, to initiate the basic discussions, and then go into the design phase. It has to start from design, if I understand correctly. We cannot have a piecemeal approach of putting bandages to some systems by calling the evaluation from different names or just tweaking bits and pieces, but a complete redesign is what is required. Right, sir?
And having said that, there is a slight problem here. When you're doing a redesign with all kinds of democratic process, we need to have that patience also. So because like most of the time, which I can see that tradition, that tendency which is coming up in the whole education sector, that people are becoming very impatient. They want the result yesterday. You know, like it never happens. We are dealing with organic life form. It is not a factory where we are making, you know, products out of it. This is almost like a farming. You cannot expect the crops to, you know, like grow tomorrow or maybe yesterday. It never happens. So you need to trust the process. You need to trust the educators who are really, really working, and they're losing the sleep over this. You know, like, and unfortunately, the technology is not giving you that much of space also. Like that is coming so fast. So you need to have that patience to understand and to trust your educators who are actually trying to bring this change in the world. And trust me, you know, like I speak to all the top educators of India, you know, like they all are speaking the same language. It is not that I'm telling you this, you know, they all are speaking the same language. They are a little worried because the whole world, you know, that materialistic product world is wanting the results so fast that, you know, like maybe that's a very, you know, dangerous sign, you know, like it's kind of ominous sign which is coming. And this was not the case maybe 20, 30 years back, you know, mm-hmm. like, but now people are You know, like that was a time when organizations were looking for break even after 6 to 7 years. Now, you know, organizations are asking for break even in 2 years, 2 to 3 years. So, you know, the whole parameters have changed. Now, if you are talking about a quality evaluation system getting designed, which is actually part of a culture of the school, the number one priority that you want to design inside the school. If you want that to be designed inside a school, you need to have that prescience and need to trust the whole process. Because here, when you're talking about evaluation, we are not talking about evaluation of only the scholastic part, right? So there are many other areas we need to discuss. Trust me, if you start that discussion with your students, they will come up with such wonderful points because they are a witness of what is happening in the world. They know that there are several things wrong which is happening. They know that, you know, traveling with a car in a congested road and everyone honking is a very stupid thing to do. They know that. If you do a conversation with them, they will come up with those things. So if they know, don't you think that these things that we should be incorporating in our students, that these kind of discussions should be done so that they also, and this is also a part of your evaluation system. Because when we are trying to create a learner, we are trying to create a learner with a real holistic development, which is again a part of your NCF evaluation system. So if you're trying to make a holistic, so there are organizations which are always talking about holistic growth, right? So how many of you how many of us are trying to do that, right? So I'm very much fortunate that I have been a school where these kind of practices are given priorities. But, you know, like, again, I'll repeat that this is a culture that we need to build first. So your compliances, your SOPs are not the highest priority. The culture is the highest priority. Okay, if you do not have the culture, you cannot build the competency.
Right.
So only if you make sure that the culture is brought, and the culture never gets developed in 2 days or 3 days. It requires at least 2 to 3 years for the culture to, you know, for an organization to build. Because these are like, you know, you make the environment suitable for the crop to grow. You cannot just put all kinds of ammonium nitrate into the crops and say, okay, I'm, you know, giving fertilizers, the crop will be growing very well today. It never happens like that. You have to wait for the soil to get ready. You have to wait for the right environment. You have to wait for the right for the organic fertilizers to be there. You know, so this is a process where the culture you need to bring. And then comes your efficacy of maintaining the crop or take care of the crop, which is the competency. That is where the farmer's competency comes in. Yeah. And then the last is obviously the whole process of distribution and cutting, and that's the regulations that you bring into the system, which is the quality control and everything, which is a compliances part. But that is the third priority. The question that we should be asking in this whole evaluation process: are the culture ready? Is the culture ready for the school? If the culture is ready, if your students, if your parents, if your teachers are ready for a discussion and a healthy discussion and can give that input to the whole system, then yes, you are in the right track. And if that gets into the process, then ma'am, we can just start talking about building a good evaluation system. Because yes, the moment, because there must be a platform where they can speak and not judged.
Right.
And not judged. So what they're saying should not be a part of some kind of evaluation and someone is noting it down, and you know, like this person has said that, this person has said that. It should not be a part of the judgment. You know, it should be just heard. And then we should start. That's data. Definitely that's data. But that data is going to, you know, utilize in a right analysis format, not only for with some kind of objective that, okay, this data I'll be directly converting into competency. It never happens like that. You understood?
Yes.
So when we're talking about quality evaluation system, first we need to take care of the quality of the culture inside the school or inside the organization.
So, sir, you said rightly that the culture is the starting point. So, if there is a school or an educational leader who wants to create this culture in his or her organization, so I understand that there should be first an open policy wherein people can come together in a non-judgmental way and initiate discussions. So, what would be the, according to you, what would be the resources or the guidance or some factors that they can use while they are creating a culture, while they are, you know, having these open, healthy discussions? Are there any guidelines available? Are any resources available? Because this would be a new domain for them. So, what should be their guiding factor in this, and how they should go about it?
So plenty, there are plenty resources available. You know, like, I think this is the only industry where all the resources, there are plenty of resources available, and that too free. You know, like, if you go for other industries, maybe those resources are, you know, pretty expensive. You know, if you go and talk to any other, celebrated educator in India, they will not ask you, okay, I'm for 1 hour, I'm going to take this much of money. You know, they will not do that. You know, that's the best part of this industry. They are the biggest resources. Like, I keep on talking with these people, and not only India, even abroad. You talk to, you know, like, I have conversation with Doug Lemoff, with Santonio, with, like, who are the, you know, like, the greatest, one of the biggest. I'm unfortunate, like, you know, Richard Feynman is not alive at this present moment, but I'm sure that these are the people who are always ready to talk, you know. So there are platforms where you can have a conversation with them. That these are the resources. And I encourage my teachers to do the same thing, and they do that. And there are some wonderful, educators who are doing some great things all over India, all over the country, and all over the world. So you have got that opportunity. Like, yesterday only, I was having a long conversation with Gavin McCormack. You know, like, Gavin is doing some wonderful job, you know, throughout the world.
He's making and wonderful videos on, from
wonderful,
America, also, and teaching students.
Exactly. He's a passionate educator. So these are the resources. And he just, can you imagine, like, I'm a school in one corner of India. And I just told him that, can we have a chat, like, in a Zoom call? And he came, and I brought my principals into it. And then we had a nice discussion on it. So these are the resources which are available, and they will never say no. If anyone comes and tells me, okay, Abhishek ji, can we have a talk on this education? I'll never say no. I'll take my time out of my busy schedule, and I'll give them some time, because that's the beauty of the education sector, you know. So yes, I know that even they are busy, these people are busy, so we have to, may have to wait a little bit, but that's okay. But they will find their time to talk to you. And I have always found that, you know, like, you can name any big educators and great educator of the country, they never told me no in my life, and when I wanted to talk to them, you know. Some of them are mentors of mine also, like, you know, like, and I, whatever I'm telling you are actually all that I have learned from them, right? So it's not that I'm manufacturing everything from my head. Yes, definitely there may be results and outcomes of whatever I've learned. So in my own way, organized way, I'm telling you. But it's all bits and pieces got from different resources and sources that I've got in my life. And good part, they were free. That was the good part. That's what I'm trying to say, actually. So it is almost like I often tell my teachers, like, imagine there is a situation when he came to know the biggest, the shopping mall of your city is giving a sale where everything is free. You know, what you would be doing? You'll be dropping everything and you'll be running for that, right? So imagine in your profession, everything that you want to know is free. Like, you go to Edutopia, you go to the YouTube channels. There are fantastic YouTube channels where lots of things are free. You just go and take it from there and apply in your own teaching learning. And you learn from them, right? So it is not that, you know, like, mujhe koi sapna aaya, Jan, I'm telling all those things. Like, all these things I've learned from all these free resources that I've got. And these are all, you know, like, fantastic people. When you may not get the opportunity to talk to Richard Feynman, but there are several lectures of Richard Feynman which you can go and watch, you know, like, in YouTube. And he's, like, probably the one of the best teachers ever lived on this planet. So what I'm trying to say is, like, these materials are available. You know, the maximum expense that you can do is, like, buy a book maybe. And these days books are 400, 500 rupees. Then that's nothing. You know, like, you actually spend the money in a kind of fast food joint, yeah. This kind of money.
Right.
So if that is available already, then then what is stopping us? You know, like we have these resources already ready, like what you just asked me, like what I told about the culture. This is actually very well written in a leadership book called Leadership Leverage, you know, by, you know, Paul Santino. So these things are already there. We should be, you know, whether it's Howard Gardner or Doc Lemov or whoever, like writing some fantastic articles on education, we should more read and we should more talk to these people. And they are not only a theorist, they are doing it in their life. You know, not many people know Doc Lemov has his own school. You know, Teach Like a Champion is a book that everyone reads, you know, like in schools. But Doc Lemov has his own school in US. The name of the school is Unconventional School. You know, so that's, isn't it interesting? So these people are so active and so passionate about their work that they will be always available for you whenever you need them.
Right. So the people you have named are practitioners, sir. And I think you are also carrying the legacy forward, like giving time to us for this discussion and sharing all your thoughts in this. And, you know, you mentioned Richard Freeman, and he was always talking about, you know, trying to find proofs of things and not believe everything what you hear or listen. And now when we are talking about evaluation also, you talked about take the data and analyze the data and not just, you know, take things on the face value. Analyze data, let data guide your decisions, and then reflect on the data also so that you develop your reflective powers also. And everything, the optimizations which are coming, they are coming out from actual data and not from anybody's you know, whims and fancies.
So I just sorry to interrupt, like there is there's something very important which we need to know when we talk about data. You know, like when I talked about the right analysis, it's not that what you actually want to see. We need to understand the context. You know, that is very important. Data can mislead you like anything. Data can mislead you like anything. So it is extremely important for you to understand the context of the data. You know, like, and when you are doing the analysis, these different perspectives need to be also taken care of. Because you cannot just judge a student, which we all do. You know, we cannot just judge a student whose you know, marks are getting deteriorated because of whatever reason, and we have to. It's our responsibility to find out the reason. And what maximum what we can do, like we can talk to the student, we can talk to the teacher, like what is going on, put him in a remedial class. Are we going deeper? Are we understanding whether there is a problem in the family that the student is facing? Are we understanding, like I taught in school where student used to come from areas where they can't even afford breakfast, you know? So they're sitting in my school in empty stomach and you are expecting them to learn, right? I had student in my school, not in this particular school, but some other school where I worked as a principal. I had student in my school where my grade 9 student, suddenly her performance and everything dropped. She was a bright student. And when I, you know, started having a conversation with the student, after, you know, a couple of conversations, I found out that the family of the student is trying to, you know, get her married. She's in grade 9. Oh. And she's a brilliant student. She has one kind of aspiration for her own life, but she's like, they're planning to get her married. So we have to understand the context of the data. We have to go deeper, and then only we'll understand. We cannot judge a teacher or judge a student of any kind of performances and give them some kind of rating like A, B, C, D, whatever we do. We have to understand the context of it, what that person is going through. Then only you can build that culture. Then only you can build an organization with legacy. To understand? Otherwise, it will be just an organization where, you know, like, which is minting money. There are so many organizations which are minting money. You know, they are so-called successful organization. But it never happens in education this way. You'll be never remembered in history.
Yeah, so that's a different nuance that you brought about, that for evaluation, of course, we need to analyze data, but the data has to be seen in the whole context of families and personal relations and other things which are part and parcel of every student's life. So that's another nuance that when a school is creating a culture, these things have to be really taken into consideration. And also there have to be checkpoints and solutions built into the system which can address these kind of things as well.
Empathy is the solution, man. Empathy is the solution. Are you hearing them? You may not be able to solve them. You cannot go and solve the problem of that those parents, you know, like, but are you hearing them? Are you listening to them? You know, empathy is the most important thing. You may not become, you cannot, you know, convert that empathy into compassion all the time. You may not, it may not be, you cannot be this problem solver all the time. But if you're listening, if you're in a position to listen, that makes a lot of difference. You know, my team trusts me because of that. Because they know they can walk into my room and they can tell me anything.
Right.
I'll not judge them. I'll not judge them. Right? So that is important. That can be so weird. That can be very weird. Like, look, today I'm not in a mood to take a class. Isn't it? So, you know, like that can be so weird. We can actually dissolve the whole classes one day and have fun. You know, like you're understanding the problem, right? So if we have that system, that kind of acceptance ready, then only you start building a proper system where evaluation is a part of it. Because if the person who is getting evaluated, whether it is a student or a teacher or any kind of stakeholder, if the person getting evaluated do not trust you, then what are you trying to evaluate? They don't trust you, right? They're afraid of you, maybe. You know, so we talk about exam fever, like that is what is happening. Why there will be fever, why there will be, you know, phobia of the examination when that means you don't trust the system. You don't trust that the system is there for my betterment. Right? Nothing happens over threat.
Yes, exam fear, exam phobia is a self-defeating phrase to begin
exactly.
with. Right? Yeah. So we started with evaluation, and that that has not just the cognitive elements but so many life skills, interpersonal factors including empathy and also compassion. And probably I still believe wherever you can, an educator can also be a problem solver wherever possible, of course not in all situations. But yes, empathy for all situations, in all situations, is definitely required. And once all these things come together, there is open discussion, involvement of all stakeholders, then the culture would be there. It would build. And like you said, it would still take time. Things won't change overnight. But over a period of time, that culture would build.
Exactly. Exactly. And that is a starting of, you know, like where you can actually start designing a good evaluation system. So we started with the quality. Like the quality you cannot ensure unless that trust and culture is present in the system.
So the students...
No matter how sophisticated your system of evaluation is, you know, like people say that Australian evaluation system is very, very sophisticated. You know, we read that system, we studied that. Now they're talking about, you know, like there is a huge problem in the Australian evaluation system. They themselves are talking about it. You know, Singapore has changed. Singapore, one of the top countries of in our academic index. You know, one of the best countries to perform in education index. You know, if Finland is, the Scandinavian countries are in the top, then comes the Singapore. But this same Singapore has radically changing the whole assessment system. And this is the news from last year. You know, like last 1 year, they're changing completely the whole assessment system. They're removing all the examination till grade 5. They're only having, you know, like seamless examination where people are not even, you know, the students are not even understanding when the assessment is happening, like proper assessment with learning they're changing. So why do you think a country which is ranking within the top 3 or top 5 in the education parameter is actually changing the assessment system? Because they believe that something there is wrong somewhere. You're getting my point. I'm very happy that our government is also thinking on the same line. And they are trying to, you know, build these kind of changes through NEP and NCF. But It is far deep rooted than we think. It is just not only the processes and SOPs will make the changes. Because we, again, I repeat, we are dealing with organic matters. We're dealing with rife forms. You know, it is not artificial intelligence. You know, like if you're trying to do that, then there will be a tremendous problem. Then we are trying to actually, you know, what is happening, what you're trying to do. This is last 100 years we are trying to do that. We are trying to create, prototypes, you know. So all students are like prototypes for us, and we are trying to create prototypes. And that itself has depreciated our natural intelligence in a way that, you know, that artificial intelligence is a threat today. It's the biggest irony, because we have created an education system where the natural intelligence is a rare commodity, and that natural intelligence where, you know, like what is natural intelligence? The empathy, the compassion is the highest form of natural intelligence a human being can process, you know, can process. Even animals do have creativity. You know, creativity is not number one. Creativity can come after compassion and empathy. So if we cannot, through our education system, process that, then there is something hugely wrong. Then we are, if we are only talking about marks and competency, we cannot compete with artificial intelligence in competency. We cannot. In next five years, they will defeat us hands down. You know, they will defeat us like anything. So we will be replaced whenever there is a competency required. Human being will be replaced by a machine. We cannot compete with them. Where we can compete, at least in the next 30 years, I don't know, maybe, where the highest form of intelligence, which is like compassion, empathy, and some obviously intuitiveness and the creativity comes into it, the originality of the thought. So those things are really, really important in this process now. So our whole evaluation system should be designed to actually capture that data, to actually help the student learn through that assessment, you know, and become develop and enhance those kind of intelligence where the artificial intelligence will not become a threat to it. In fact, that is my topic in the upcoming seminar, where social emotional learning in the age of artificial intelligence, you know, and that's, you know, that my favorite topic at this present moment. I'm a big follower of Noah Harari, you know, like, and he talks about this. He talks about what will be the impact to the new generation, because that is most important. We are creating a generation which are not intelligent in that sense, you know, and that's the scary part. You know, they are extremely competent. They are more competent, maybe more than the, you know, previous generation, but that is not enough. Because that competent generation will make machines more competent than us. So that's the risk.
Absolutely relevant points in today's time, sir, wherein the students, they are facing artificial intelligence, and we are creating a dependency on artificial intelligence. And on the other hand, we are creating a sort of a distrust for AI also. So it's a very confusing word for us, and I'm sure definitely for the students as well. So therein, what you mentioned is that the differentiating factor between AI and being human are the qualities of empathy and compassion. And unfortunately, our current evaluation systems don't give value to these qualities. They measure the cognitive abilities, the competencies. So if a student is able to do 2 + 2 = 4, he's competent for that. But there is no way we measure empathy, and anything that we don't measure, we don't really value, and we don't focus on developing in students. So the entire, it again brings us to the point of setting up a culture to see what you value the most, what the education system should value the most, and then what the education system would therefore measure and try to improve on. If I understand correctly, it has to be, you know, the right qualities have to be valued and then measured and then optimized. So the entire culture has to be tailored that way.
Exactly.
Yeah, so really, I had a question about all this because we always talk about technology. Technology is a, I think, a quite an empowering factor, but only if we use it like that. If we let technology empower us, which AI has a tremendous potential of doing that, then of course, you know, we become their servants. We become a servant of technology. But with skills like empathy, compassion, and original thinking is something which will set all students apart, and then there won't be any threat of any machines or artificial intelligence.
It's very simple. Like if you're having, like in future, if you have a very sophisticated AI running your organization and helping you taking decision, then the first thing that it will try to do is like, and if it is a well-avowed AI, like it's like it's pretty much self-aware, you know. So if you're a self-aware AI, is like, which is it's going to come in future, is going to, you know, like taking decision for your organization. Definitely, they will think about the well-being of the people involved, right? So, in the well-being of the people involved, and you talk about the corporates, you talk about that, the companies which are run by maybe 1% of the wealthy populations of the world, they are not thinking about that well-being. So there will be the conflict. The conflict will be, so AI will become the enemies of this, like the corporates which are actually not thinking about the well-being. So I think like that's going to be the biggest conflict in your future.
Right. So, sir, we've had a lot of discussions on evaluation and also culture. Now, I would ask you, what in your professional journey made you go see the need from traditional approaches, and what was your journey from you must, you know, like all of us, everybody is a product of traditional school education system, right? And when I look back, I reflected on my journey, I realized that things have to be different. So what in your journey was the trigger point where you realized that things have to be different and that set you on a on this path of binding in evaluation with culture and empathy and compassion,
So
and
what
also
happened?
accepting, you know, the newer technologies which are there.
Right. So, my childhood was in a very, very progressive family. Like I belong to, and I'm from Kolkata, like progressive, like we always say that the head of the family is very, very important. Like my father was, though he was a very strong character, but he was not the head of the family. My grandmother was the head of the family. And my grandmother was one of the most progressive lady I've seen in my life. And when you always say that, you teach a man, you teach a man, you teach a, woman, you teach a generation. Like my grandmother was a good example of that. Like her presence, though she was never educated, she never went to school. She is from a village, like of at presently it is Bangladesh. So, but the mindset that I've got from her, she was always, she was a very, she was an avid reader. She always used to read books, though he was not trained, by a school. And I got that reading ability from her particularly. And even in when there were like power cut, there were those days there were, a lot of power cut. We used to read, where there is a lantern or something like that. We used to read in that particular light also. So I understand the, that passion for reading from her. So yes, and my parents, everyone was like very progressive in the mindset. Definitely got it from the grandmother. And that's one side of the story. And the other side, I was in a very, very ordinary traditional school. So they both helped. Having a very progressive mindset family and a very traditional school actually gave me the ability to become a self-learner. Because I discarded the process that my school was trying to teach me. I never understood what they're trying to do. And I learned on my own. So in that whole process, I almost become a philosopher, asking all sorts of questions and trying to hunt down all the questions from everywhere. And that actually made me a huge follower of science, you know, because science is actually originating from that philosophy mindset. And so I become a huge follower of science. I become a science student, in fact, you know, afterwards. And I absolutely reading from books and asking questions. And there were like a couple of friends who were actually also like me. And so I explored, you know, like become an explorer. And it was absolutely okay for my parents. They never asked me what kind of marks you are scoring in examination. They never asked me. I was always a good student, but they never asked me any. I just gave the report card and the sign. That's it. So that kind of liberty, that kind of freedom actually gave me the opportunity to become a self-learner. And thanks to these two kind of environments, because yes, a good school is always important, but either you be in a good school or a very ordinary bad school. Anything in middle is dangerous, you know? You know, so that's a problem. So, you know, like I was not in a good school, so it helped me, you know. So because my father, you know, put me into a very local school, like, hey, jada dur nahi jana padega, so you can come. And he was like, we are a sports family, absolutely. So I was also a sportsman once upon a time. So that also helped me to understand failure. That also helped me to understand collaboration, because sports taught me a lot of things, you know, like I was spending more time in the field than in the classroom, you know, like, so that also helped me a lot. And it was a family of culture, like my mother was a singer, my father was a singer. So, you know, it's a very dangerous kind of mix, you know, singing, sports, and he was a businessman. You know, like he never did any kind of survey. So there were a lot of accounting going on in the school, in the classes. And most of his money that he's earning, he was giving out in charity. So you understand the empathy where there, it's coming from there, you know, like he was, most of the time he was taking care of his laborers and everything more than us. So initially, like there was a complaint, but later on I understand like what he was doing. He was taking care of his employees more than us. Like he was giving them bonus in during the, you know, Diwali and the puja time, where we were not getting, you know, good, you know, new clothes. So that time it was pathetic. That time it was painful, but later on I understand what he was trying to teach us. So we learned that from him. So for me, my employees, my colleagues, my people are more important to me. You know, like, so that kind of information came to us and I learned from there. So, and later on, I become a complete technocrat. I become a programmer in IBM. So, you know, that's how the technology came in. You know, like, so like my origin is like from technology. So I'm still a programmer. Like I love to code, you know, like often when I get chance, like I do some kind of program. But, you know, having seen all these, you know, different aspects and even worked in corporate, I worked in corporate for a long time, you know, worked in corporates. So I understand the pros and cons on everything. I've seen people, how much heartless they can become, you know, and in an environment. So yes, that has given me the opportunity to do the right thing, maybe.
Right, right. So it's a very interesting journey, sir, that you have. And if I can just summarize it, if I can take the liberty, of course, you cannot summarize a life, you know, in a couple of sentences. But what I understand is that you had these different environments, but you were always reflecting on all the things which were happening at home and school, and also taking ownership of your own learning. So reflection and learning was a key part of your development, and I think that is
excellent.
You are recommending now also when we talk about evaluation for
right example. Right, so there are three words, and you are absolutely rightly putting it in the right way, né? Explore, reflect, take ownership.
Yes,
so I think this is the cycle, you know?
This is the cycle. Yeah, this is a cycle that can also be implemented in this implementing a new kind of evaluation system, which is our topic for today. And this is also a policy which I think the students can implement in their own life also, to take ownership for their own learning and life, the way you did. right?
Exactly.
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 Because otherwise what happens is sometimes we just accept what is happening. A school is bad, so we just accept what is happening. The home environment is not good, so we accept it and we get trained in that. Or if it is too good, we get complacent. So either ways, but reflect, explore, reflect, and take ownership is the way forward.
And you know the best part of it? The best part is that it is fun. The journey is so amazing. Like, I don't have a single, repentance. If anyone tells me, like, you want to go back to my childhood, I'll say, no, I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying each and every moment because each and every moment is exploration. Like, I'm talking to you, I'm trying to understand, like, what, like, I'm also learning from you. So it's like exploration all the time. And whenever, like, you give yourself some time and do reflect on that whole thing and then take ownership, whether good, bad, whatever, like, take the ownership of it. And then that's the most, amazing thing, like, that you can do with your life, like, and it is so, so fun. I know, like, it may sound a bit selfish sometimes, but it is extremely fun. Like, it's extremely fun and it gives me a tremendous peace of mind. And I still, even when I'm almost like in my 50s, I don't require any alarm clock. I sleep within 5, 2 minutes. I don't require any, and I can sleep anywhere, anytime. Like, I don't have any particular time that I have to sleep there, this particular place. No. Again, that's complete peace of mind and I don't have any dependence on it. Like, so that only happens if you go through this cycle, like what you're saying, like, explore, reflect and take ownership.
And 100% agree with you, sir. That has been, I can relate to that in my life. I also come from the corporate background, entered education stream as a new parent, and the attitude was this: to explore and to take ownership of my own learning in the education field, so that I can drive, my child's learning and then my students' learning on a bigger scale. So 100% agree with you. So would that be the message that you would like to share with parents and also student, that this is the way to take ownership of your learning while the education system is being optimized, things are being done, but till things, they would not change overnight, but you can still take ownership of your own learning. So what would be the message from your side for the parents, because we have a lot of parents learning, and I think that the parents have to be part of, they are important stakeholder in our learning,
Of course, of course, of
as the
course.
parents and
Because
also the students.
students spend most of the time in with the parents, like, so it's very important for the parents to understand. See, it's very, very important because in our busy life these days, like, we don't give enough time to our parents, to our students, like, to our children. So I think it's very important for a parent how much time they can extract out of their daily schedule to give some time to your children and understand what they're saying. Listen to them. Don't listen to answer. Just listen. Like, most of the time we try to listen to answer. Don't do that. Just listen to them. Listen what they're saying. And like, and if possible, slowly guide them towards some kind of learning. And that guidance should be not in the form of instruction, in the form of questioning, in the form of, like, we call it guided discovery. We should, take them to that particular domain. It is very Socratic, and that Socratic kind of learning is what actually we should be preaching all most of the time. And a big follower of philosophy, and like, that actually will actually help the student to grow properly. Because if they don't enjoy what they're doing, then it's going to be a very, very horrible life. It's going to be a horrible life for them. No parent would expect their student to go through a horrible life. My students are telling me, look, we are afraid of our examination because there is an expectation of parents and teachers that we have to do well. But without examination, maybe that we will not be studying. So if we cannot change this for them, then they are having a pathetic life. We should understand that. And as an educator, as a parent, ma'am, we should be losing our sleep over it, right? Because we should be, our main objective is to give them a very, I will not use the word comfortable, I'll use the word a very engaging life where they're involved with that whole process. That's how I can go a little deeper here. That's how the Homo sapiens are made. That's how we have become what we are today. Like if we cannot give them that life, and if we go reverse, if we move away from the discovery method that our whole evaluation is responsible for, and if we go and give them a ready-made food all the time, then this whole process of learning is going to get violated. And that is not the right thing to do. We should be first understanding them. And please understand, this engagement, this discovery is very, very personalized. People will have different ways of doing it. It is never linear. It is a very non-linear thing. It is a very divergent thing. Yes, our role is to bring them in together sometimes, but it is really divergent. And let's respect this divergent thinking. Let's just respect that. We should not tell our students, no, you are not supposed to think like that. We cannot say that. Even if the student is like, we have a system in our school, like we have a chart paper where they go out and write anything, write the questions, any questions they can write. There are questions even like, what is death? How many ways people can die? These kind of questions also coming out from students, So if we give them the opportunity, one student in grade 7, he came to me in my room and asked me, so what is the difference between peace and justice? They are thinking. Are we listening? That's the question I would actually like to leave it to the parents today. They are thinking. They have got a storm inside their head. Are we listening to that? Our job is to actually encourage that storm and listen to that and guide them towards a proper channel of learning.
Right, right. That's an important thought. Yes, that we have to listen.
We're just agents.
Yeah, we are just agents. And a lot of times the parents may not have a lot of answers. In fact, most of the answers the parents may not have.
That's okay.
It's still okay, but we have to be very careful about not suppressing their curiosity, suppressing their intensity even, and let the storm rage and let them go on their own path. Right.
Right.
Right. Thank you for sharing that, sir. And that all ties very beautifully into what we have discussed about evaluation. I have a lot of more questions about this new evaluation approach.
We may require a part two here.
Yes, I would definitely request you to give us time for part two, wherein we go deeper into the subject and discuss more about the hows, of how we can implement it. Practical ways, some actionable points we can discuss. But, today we have sown the seed of this important thought that taking ownership of one's learning is the way to go. Students have to be given an agency. They have to be given a voice. They have to be allowed to be stakeholders in this design process, where the others, the educators, have to, of course, come with an open mind and create a culture. So that is a key takeaway that I have from today's discussion. But definitely we require part two of this discussion, sir. So thank you very much, sir, for sharing. And I am sure our audience also have a lot of takeaways from today's discussion, and also questions, because I think questions are the seed of more learning. And
you can share my LinkedIn profile, so they can ask me, they can message me those questions if they have any. Because I agree with you, ma'am, like we have not yet gone to that action domain, because there are so many good practices which are happening in our school, in MIT World Peace School. And we have created a very holistic 360 degree evaluation system. And that is important for me.
Brief today, if you would like.
Grade 6 onwards, we have to follow the CBSE protocols. Like, we have all the blueprints and everything from grade 6 onwards. But below that, we have the opportunity to actually create a very sophisticated evaluation system. For example, a skill-based assessment system is important. Like, we should identify different skills. Like, when we talk about maths, how many of us are talking about a spatial skill? So we should be having proper assessments and teaching learning activities related to the spatial skill and other skills like related to mathematics, because if the student is getting the spatial skill, the student will get the geometry right in later on. And if they get the geometry right, they will get the trigonometry right, they will get the calculus right. So everything is very much related. So these are the skills which we need to teach them from the junior level. So we have got a system of almost like 40 skills and with proper rubrics and everything, where the students don't understand why they're getting assessed. Like, it's a very seamless thing. You know, during the teaching learning process, they actually get assessed in that way. And we do it in 3 years. So the report card comes out in 3 years, like the year one, year two, year three, to actually understand that where the student is in different type of skills in course of 3 years. Then there is like a lot of student driven, you know, like student like assessment with learning. So that this is like when after that skill based assessment category is over, then the teachers, they sit down with the students to give them the feedback. So that is where you change that assessment of learning to assessment for learning. You know, like you're giving the feedback to the student and the right feedback. So it requires training of the teachers to how to give the right feedback also. You know, like when the right feedback happens, then we have a system where actually the assessment with learning can actually go to assessment for learning can go to assessment with learning also, where the students have in several parameters, they have charts prepared in their own classrooms where they rate themselves with no intervention of the teachers. So that's the ownership chart that they create, whether in terms of, and this is the area where the empathy and communication and even the 21st century skills come in. You know, where the collaboration part is, where the organization, how much organized you are. So they rate themselves every week. You know, the monitor of the class, they take a vote and how where we are standing. And they rate themselves, and the teachers don't interfere. Time to time, maybe I visit their classes and I have a conversation on that. What is happening? You know, so that is how we are trying to build that culture inside the school, where you learn on your own how much you are taking the interference. And there is another thing which maybe I'm sure that many other schools are doing. You know, once in a year, we are actually from this year, we're starting it. Even the student-led conference and the student-led sessions, where the students will also be, you know, like taking classes of their parents, you know, like whatever they've learned, they'll be taking classes, they'll be teaching their parents, they'll be creating worksheets and giving it to the parents to solve. You know, that's where they actually take a further more ownership of their learning. You know, so these are the several processes that you can do. Exhibitions are fantastic modes, you know, like because it goes directly to the demonstration part, where the student demonstrate their learning. So exhibitions, then student-led sessions, then ownership charts, skill-based assessments. So these are the tools that we use at presently, and there are, and you know, please feel free, that if anyone is hearing me, feel free to give. And you know, like today we have started a process, like I've told them that if you are coming up with any good idea of assessment, please write it down and give it to us. So then our students are actually participating in creating their own evaluation process.
Yeah, and I'm sure
wonderful ways. One student came already and told me that, can we take written examination not inside the classroom? Can we do it outside in the nature? We have got a beautiful campus. We have got a fantastic nature around. We are based in Pune with ghats at the back. And it's a beautiful campus. So they said, can we give the examination outside? There will be less tension, less pressure. Just understand how they're thinking. And this is great for...
Amazing.
This is great for.
Amazing, yeah. See, when they are given the opportunity to take ownership, they can come up with amazing ideas.
Right. They say that, can you make it like game-based? Can the whole examination be like a game? So that we don't have any, you know, problem in giving those examination and no tension, that as if like we are playing games. So, you know, like they are already there. You know, we have to be reaching their level, you know. They are already there. They are already thinking. It is us, the educators, the teachers, who need to upgrade ourselves and start thinking like them. You know, like because from there you will get the purity.
Yes, we educators have to be educated. So, sir, coming back to this, you know, then how did you, like you already have such wonderful things going on in your school. How did you start with the changing the mindset and training the teachers to be open to this this newer approach? Because a lot of educational leaders would be willing to listen to that.
Yeah. So it's still in the process. I will not say that we reached 100% success in that. Still in the process. But, you know, the major role was like to to again to go into a conversation. It was not a one-way traffic, one-way, like I go there and I train them and do a workshop. It's not like that. You always have that conversation. What is best for it? There is a teachers group. We all have it, like when a WhatsApp group where I feed them with all kinds of things that are happening in all over. As I said, like there are plenty of resources everywhere. So I feed them with those resources. They keep on. And every Saturday, Sunday, some polls come out and where I understand what they're wanting, I give them polls now. That's a fantastic feature of WhatsApp. Like you can create polls. So I can create lots of polls in there to understand what they're thinking and how they're thinking, because I have more than 100 teachers, like I have to deal with them. And like so many 100 teachers, I may not, meet them personally one by one is to one all the time. So I understand what they're thinking and then design that kind of dialogues with them, like when they talk about that. And the third step, which is very important for all leaders who are listening to me, is to create more leadership into a team. Like you have to identify more leaders who are actually ready to take the responsibilities, ready to take that, like their growth mindset is already there, like that has been developed. So first step is to develop those growth mindset, developing all these conversational platforms and platforms where you can share resources with them. And then again, maybe you take some kind of poll or some kind of MCQ on that resources that you've sent them, to understand how they are thinking and how, and encourage them to actually understand what is the meaning of a horizontal growth. Because people are very much focused on vertical growth all the time. They don't understand what is horizontal growth. So share a lot of lives, share what people are doing all over the world and how the great, examples of educators all over the world they are doing. So as they come to know this, they get interested. First, you have to understand, ma'am, this is the profession where we expect to create, human beings, good human beings. We regarded this as very, very noble profession, but our teachers are disrespected everywhere. We need to understand this, So we expect them to create, fantastic human beings and who are like job ready, who are life ready, who are all kinds of things. And but we don't respect them that way. So that is the biggest problem, and it's a very social problem. It's not a problem of education. It's a problem of the social. It's a social problem. No matter we say that, okay, this is a very noble profession, like very good, but they are not respected. They are not respected, and the reason behind, we all want good teachers in our school. Like how many children, you go and just ask this question to in a crowd of students, how many students want to become a teacher? Even the PE organization who are looking for good teachers, their own children will not become teachers. But we require good teachers. Are you understanding the social problem here? We
That's
do
a
not
big
respect.
irony. That's a big
See, we
irony.
do not respect this position. We do not respect these people. That respect is the first thing. Again, I repeat, like you need to hear, you need to listen to them. The more you start listening to them, I'm not saying can listen to them means like taking whatever they're saying. They can say like they are not, may not be there, they may not be ready to say the right things, But at least they have a platform where they can go and talk, right? You need to listen to these people. And not only that, we need to start giving that social stature. That thing is very important for them. These teachers are not does not have the priority number one as in this profession. Please understand that. They are in, at home. They are maybe a daughter-in-law first, then a mother, then a daughter, maybe a wife, and then the teacher. So maybe it's a fifth priority. No other profession this thing happens, right? Someone who is like a owner of a school or maybe a working in a corporate has got maybe. That particular profession is number one or number two. It's not true in case of teachers. Are you understanding the social problem? This is the core problem in education. So unless we take care of them, really, really take care of them and make them celebrities out of it, that's why I requested you in the beginning, like we should have more sessions with the teachers and students and everyone, because they should be highlighted. They should be in the center stage. Then only we'll start realizing, yes, we can actually do reforms to our education system. This NCF and NEPs are all compliances. That's not priority number one. I'll keep on repeating. That's not priority number one. Priority number one is culture, where you respect human being, you listen to them, you develop that empathy. Then only your competency and compliances will be taken care of.
Right. That's an important message for all educational leaders to develop this culture in their schools. And when we talk about imparting social emotional learning to students, it first has to start with the educators themselves, and empathy has to start with the educators themselves, and valuing the each and every educator. That is the key. And you mentioned during the initial part of the session, you mentioned all these things, and then you really shared practical ways in which it has been implemented in your school. So this is very much doable. The only thing is that the educational leadership has to think about it and be open to developing this sort of culture. You have shared several examples, several ways in which this is being implemented at MIT Pune. And, you know, I'm sure that people can come to you, take specific inputs on how to...
Anytime. And we are also learning. Please understand, ma'am. We are also learning. It's a process. It's a process. We are also learning from everywhere. Anything. These are all accumulation of the learning that we are having from all the places, right? So it's, you know, like whoever is listening, please feel free to give any kind of feedback, because we survive in the feedbacks that we are getting. And any kind of suggestions, I'll be listening to you like anything. You know, like, and please, you know, ma'am, first of all, you're welcome to my school first. You know, like, please come and, you know, visit my school. And whoever is listening to me, you know, like, we welcome you to come and visit the school and see that what is, you know, what kind of efforts that we are doing. We have created lots of problem statements mapped with our curriculum. You know, like the students after finishing a lesson maybe gets a problem statements, which is again mapped with SDG, you know. So they try to create some kind of solution which will be impacting the real life. So these are the processes which have started. You know, like I would say it will take at least 3 to 5 years to actually reach in some kind of impact that we can actually expect, you know, some kind of outcome. But yes, the process has been started, as you said.
Yeah, and process has been started in the right spirit with involvement of all stakeholders. You know, your teachers are involved, the students are also involved. And when everybody comes together in the right spirit, definitely the results would be favorable. It's not a one person driving the show with his or her own thoughts. It's a collective effort which has gone into it. And definitely, I would like to visit your school and would encourage the audience also to visit your school. And as I said, we should have another session on discussing more in details about how it can be done, and also go into depths of the things which are already being practiced or in or planned for your school, sir.
Right, exactly.
Thank you very much, sir, for your valuable time. And
thank you so much
for insights with us. And for our audience, I hope you know this is valuable for you. There are a lot of actionable takeaways that you should note down, and also research at your end. And any questions, we will share sir's email ID. You can always reach him. So thanks.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you for, you know, like creating a platform like this. You know, this is very important. And I've already been, you know, listening to all the interviews, and those are fabulous. Like, and those who are listening to me, like, please, you know, look for these kind of interviews where actually you'll be learning a lot. You know, like, if, you know, we, after 25 years of education space, like, I'm learning also from these kind of interviews. So definitely the teachers, the parents, whoever is like listening to this kind of podcast, please listen to these talks. They will definitely help, and participate, not only listen, send the questions, you know, send your suggestions, participate. You know, like, we are always available for any kind of healthy discussions, trust me. And it's not about me. All, you know, top educators, like, I speak to General Kulkarni, I speak to General Nair, these are stalwarts of education field. I speak to the, you know, principals of Dhoon School. So these are the people who are always available. Can you understand what I'm trying to say? Like, these are, they should be like, like celebrities of education domain, like where they are always available. You can talk to them. You can just pick up the call, phone and talk to them. So that itself actually give us that energy, give us that, you know, like that impetus that we carry, and that's actually justify the passion that we have in education.
Right. Very, very rightly said, sir. I would encourage everybody to get in touch with sir and other educators that sir have mentioned. There are a lot of ideas that each one of us have and a lot of issues that we may be struggling with. Why to suffer alone? Why to struggle alone when there are so many resources available, so many educators willing to guide you with their insights. So encourage everybody.
And make some of the mentors.
Yes.
You know, like I have multiple mentors, like, you know, Colonel Shekhar, one of my mentors. I have one of my mentors who was my student. You know, like she is a PhD in psychology at this present moment. Whenever I feel a little down, which is a little rare cases, but whenever I feel a little down, I call her. She was my student.
Yeah.
So make mentors. That's very, very important. And that's how you'll be keep on exploring and you know, learning more.
Right. So Colonel Shekhar was also part of our session.
Oh, lovely.
Yes.
He's an amazing person.
Yeah, I'll share the link of his interview with us, with you. And in fact, this podcast is a result of my curiosity to learn about education system. And when I thought I'm learning, I'm speaking to these wonderful people who have so much to share. Their insights are so valuable. Why not share it with the larger audience and actually bring forth the discussions which are so relevant. Initiate discussions, and probably if I can just initiate some change after the discussions have been going on, there may be some change, some positive aspect that would be the success of the podcast, you know.
Exactly.
So conversations exactly. And then leading to some action is what I aspire for through this podcast. So yes, I would encourage everybody to subscribe to this channel and also reach out to other educators, and like sir said, you know, get a mentor. So thank you
ma'am. Thank you for creating such kind of platform. That's a wonderful job you're doing.
Yes, thank you so much, sir. I'm just